This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Well, tonight I want to speak on the message, Seeing is Believing. Seeing is Believing, John chapter 9. John chapter 9, if you have a Bible, we'd really like to welcome one more time all those that are visiting with us. And you are so welcome in this place. Yes, give them a hand. We know that the presence of the Lord is here, and that if you are here, He is touching you. And it's an awesome thing to be touched by God, stand in His hand and know Him. It's an awesome thing. And in John chapter 9, very famous parable, one of my favorite, story of a man born blind. I'm going to pray. Father, I praise you today. I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you, Lord, by your Spirit, Lord, you reveal to us heaven. You reveal to us your Son. You reveal to us all that you do in the heart of man. Lord, I thank you that nowhere else can we know heavenly things, powerful things, sweet things, except by your Spirit. We thank you that, Holy Spirit, you've come to lift up Jesus. Thank you. One more time now, reveal him and lift him up. Lord, we'll praise you and thank you. For, Lord, if we are in your presence, Lord, it just fills us. It fills, and the hurt, Lord, and all that we've come with, Lord, in your presence, you touch, you heal, you deliver us, and you make us whole. So, Lord, we open our heart to you. You are an awesome God, and we love you tonight. Have your way in this message and in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you don't have a Bible, that's all right. We're just going to try to paraphrase this message, this scripture. And if you do have a Bible, it talks about as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And I love that scripture because it says as Jesus was passing by, he saw a man blind by birth. And it's, Lord, I thank you that when you are about to reveal yourself to a heart, it's your choice. You've had your eye on us long before we ever knew you existed. You saw us, and it's in your heart that when you pass by and you look down and see us, we're blind except you touch us. We don't know that Lord God Almighty is coming our way unless he touches and opens our spiritual eyes. And it's in his heart. This is his choice now. He has fastened his eyes on this man that is blind. And blind from birth, has no hope of seeing and no hope of knowing what you and I take for granted. And it's such a picture of those that our life before Jesus Christ touched us. And we sit there so ignorant of him and that he is there and that his eye is fastened on us and he has a purpose for us. And so he sees this man who is blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him and said, Master, and they're looking at him too, and they said, And they're probably so glad there's a blind man sitting there. Because they get to ask a question they've been wondering about for a long time. Master, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? It astounds me that, of course, the man is blind, but he's not deaf. And people in their great theology ask the stupidest things, you know? And here's this man, what is it like to be blind from birth and have to be told what is light and what is the color red and what is a face and what, shut out from everything and sitting there. And now he hears this conversation and it's the theology of the day, isn't it? It's the way people think. It's the way that people, it's the common thinking of the day. He's blind. Now, whose fault is it? Where do we lay the blame? Let's look around. Something really bad here. I'm so glad it's not me. But Jesus, is it his fault or his parents' fault? And I love when Jesus answers and he says, no, it's not this man's fault. It's not that his sin, nor his parents. But I'll tell you why I fasten my eyes on him. That the glory of God may be seen in him. Here is what it is. It's what God can do and what God does in him. That's why my eyes are fastened on him. It's not blame. It's not let's go back now and dig up all this stuff. You know, beloved, you and I, when we come, we are blind before God touches us. And we come from backgrounds. And the melting pot of all our misery put together, it's only a God, only a Jesus could bear it all. There's blame, there's guilt, more than enough to go around for everybody. But that doesn't matter. Jesus is saying, this is why I fast my eyes on him. Because it's what I can do and am going to do in his life, in him, that people are going to be astounded. It's not where he comes from. It's not what's happened. That's not what's important. All mankind is a misery. All mankind, apart that I come and give them sight, is going to be blame, guilt, but that doesn't matter to me because what it is that what I can and am going to do in him that's going to astound him and everybody that looks into his life, that's why I'm passing by. And that's why my eyes are fastened on him. And Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And I can imagine this blind man hearing this conversation. And only hearing voices, not knowing a face, not knowing who is it speaking. Just knowing that it's his life, some must feel like in the heavenlies being discussed. By some in such an impersonal way. And by one voice that says, I am light. And you can hear him say, what is light? But it's got to be the cry of his heart, although his physical eyes have never seen light and all that light brings and what light brings to a life, even though he's shut outside of it. I believe the eyes of his heart are fluttering because he who is the life and light of men is standing there. And he's not just light, he's heat. Some of us in our theology, we get so full of light. We're so light, but there's no heat. There's no love. And Jesus, by his grace, needs to touch our blindness where we're just light and no heat. And he will. And Jesus, he looks at this man. And here he is, hearing words that probably in the first caused such pain to him. And then he doesn't know why, but this other voice is causing, like I think, a spiritual and emotional earthquake in his heart. Because he's hearing far more than words. Is it possible that some words can reach into the very darkest, blackest part, and without us ever seeing what it is, without us ever seeing the voice, we know it and we love it? And I think that's what was happening to this man. It's what happened to me when I was 23 years old. And it says in verse 6, it says, and when Jesus had thus spoken that he was light, heat and light, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And forever, this is a picture of what salvation, what has happened to you and I if you know Jesus Christ. And what will happen to you if you're sitting here tonight and you don't know him? Because he's passing by and he's got his eye on you. What he does is he takes clay, and that's the human condition, that's you and I. He takes that clay, and then with his mouth, and what comes out of his mouth but moisture and breath? And he mixes that together, and somehow the miracle of seeing comes out of it.
And can we hear that tonight? Is it, are we get so hard in our theology, but can we hear you and I, clay, fallible, full of sin, in our own selves not able to see, in our own selves not able to save ourselves? And yet Jesus comes and he applies his moisture from his mouth. That's the word of God, which it says is living water. And the breath, that's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. It mixes the Spirit and the word come upon you and I. That's dirt. And it causes us to see. And it happens every time it's Jesus doing it. And he takes that dirt, that clay, he spits in it, he makes a paste, and it says, and he anoints the eyes of a blind man. He anoints it. Why doesn't he just smear it? Why does it say he anoints him? In that action, he's saying, my eye is fastened on you, and I have something in your dark heart. I have something, such a great light. The brilliance of it is going to astound you all your life. And the brilliance of it, of all that, will look into you. You see, I have chosen you. I have loved you. I have a purpose for your life. And he was just poor enough and dark enough inside to know that any word was good for him. And he takes and he anoints him, and he's like, he's saying, you are called, you are chosen, you're not an accident. Do we believe that? Do we believe that in the heart of God, when he calls us, he anoints us? He anoints us to see. He anoints us to see and live in this state of ever seeing more and more of Jesus as we walk through our life. Every day it's you and my privilege to have our eyes anointed to see Jesus in another way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he anoints him to see, and he says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And he sends him there. He went groping in the dark. And the Bible says he washes and he sees. That's what salvation is. We at one point are deaf and dead, and at one point we believe. We obey. We obey what's told us. We believe. That's what we're asked to do. Believe on him. We get up and we wash the pool that's provided. Jesus Christ and his life, his sacrifice and his blood. We get up and we wash. We believe. We move to the voice and we obey it. And we say, Lord, your words are the best thing I've ever heard. And at some point, we don't know how it happens, but his word and his spirit combined with our clay, and we move from death to life and we see. Hallelujah. And the wonder of it. You remember what it was like to be saved? You know, for me, it was like a gradual process, because I was around a religious circle. I was hungry for God, but when I met this group, I tried to act like them instead of Jesus. You know, what they thought, what they did. I was looking for life. I was looking for sight. And I met this group, and I thought, they really seem to know what they're doing. So I attached myself to that group, and I was their little mimic. I went to church. I did what they did. The only thing is that this Bible wasn't open, so there was no miracle. There was no mixing of his spirit and his word that creates sight. So here I am just mimicking them. And at the end I said, you know what? I'm a bad actor. I'm the worst actor I've ever met. And I moved away in disgust of myself. And really I felt God would have not been very happy with me either, because I couldn't do it. I couldn't live up to what, you know, I thought these holy people around me. So I walked away. And then I met some people that said, come to church with me. And I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't do your denomination. They said, no, come, you'll like it. And I don't know why. I don't know why I said yes, but I remember going into a church and sitting near the front, so nervous, wondering what I was doing. And I was ready to jump out of my seat and run down the aisle and run out of there, except Jesus had his eye on me. See, he was passing by. And he had his eye on me, and he was going to say, for the glory of God, people are going to look into her life. I'm going to give her sight, and I'm going to reveal myself every day more and more to her. And people are going to look into her life and see Jesus. That's the greatest miracle there is. And I went and I sat there, and all of a sudden they opened up this word. And when he began to preach the word, when the Spirit of God and the Word of God hit this clay, the miracle happened. And it was the best thing I had ever heard. And with all my heart, I wanted that. But you see, I didn't trust myself because I had hung around crowds that said they knew the way. And I was fearful that if I did this and I tried to be like them, I would be back into my same old spot where I couldn't really do it. And although I wanted God with all my heart, I really didn't figure I could do it. And I was so fearful, but I kept going back because, you see, there was life there and there was miracles happening and I wanted it. And so here I would hang around this crowd. And this time I knew they had something different because the Holy Spirit was there. And I don't know exactly when God touched me because I went to several meetings. It took a while. But there is exactly one point where we move from death to life. And God knows when that is, when the miracle does happen. But it happened when this word and spirit was applied to this flesh. And I remember that I went home one night and I was reading, and it said in the Bible, I remembered this verse, and it said, Jesus said, I am the way. I am truth, the truth. And I am the life. And all of a sudden, it made so much sense to me. It's like all of a sudden, I could see. It wasn't me trying to be good. It was God saying what I am going to do in you and for you. It is me coming to you. It is me going to come and live in you. It is me now that is going to bring the light, that is going to break the darkness. It is me that will break the power of sin in you. It is me that has come to live in you. It is me that's giving you a new life. It is my life that you will be living, Teresa. And all of a sudden, I don't know how, but I saw that all I did was give myself, and I was astounded He would want me. All I would do is say, Jesus, I believe. You say you're life, then I believe you're life. You say you're the way. I don't know the way. I'm so glad somebody finally does. You say your truth, and I've heard so much religious truth, but He came with light and said, no, I am truth, and you're going to recognize it. When you hear it, you'll know it's truth, and you'll turn your face towards it, and you'll walk towards it, and you'll be made free. I will make you free. The miracle is we are made free. We are made free. That's the evidence. God is with us and God is in us. It's not something we cannot pretend we see if we're blind. We cannot. We'll fool ourselves for a little while and people around us even less. But if we can't see, it's going to become painfully obvious. And somehow when Jesus came and He lived in me, I could see. I could see Him. I could see there was a way. I could see there was truth. It wasn't just a lot of I thinks and I feels from people who were religiously verbal. It was like I knew truth now when I heard it. I knew that there was a way. And I knew that He was life. And it was the most amazing thing. So I was like this little creature formed and given sight. But you know, I found that when I walk with Jesus, that I needed to see every day something more. I needed to see something every day more of Jesus. And He was determined to give it to me. We have the initial touch of seeing, but now, what was that blind man? What was his life like? I mean, he opens his eyes, but he doesn't understand one thing he sees. And I was like that, and you're like that when we first come to Christ, you know? We know it's Jesus. We know He's truth, life, and the way. But what is that? And what is this? And we need so much explanation. And it's like, Jesus, come touch me now and give me more sight and give me more understanding. What it is to walk with you, what it is to have your life. And that's what happened to this Pharisee. You know, he gets seeing. He comes back, he's obedient, he gets his sight. And all of a sudden the neighbors and everybody is noticing. They're in an uproar. Some say, that's not him. And others say, yeah, that's him. And he goes, yes, it is me. Sometimes we get so busy arguing about religion, we can't hear people going, it's me and I have changed. They'll say, we'll see. We'll see if you can see. When we were just newly saved, we had a sheep farm. And, you know, before Jesus touched me and gave me spiritual sight, I was trying to be good. Has anybody ever had that horrible burden of trying to be good? I have a very poor track record. And I was trying, and we we had this, and when you come to Christ and you know that he's asking you now to do it, you still, and sometimes in your own strength, try to do things. And it's what he does, because he wants to say, look, whenever I'm asking you to do something, it's impossible for your flesh to do it like before. Except the difference is now I live in you. So when I ask you to do something, I'm not asking you to do it. I'm asking my son in you to do it. I'm drawing on his life. And so you have, but that revelation, that seeing doesn't come till you have failed a few times, till you try to do things again and end up failing and thinking, God, I'm hopeless at being a Christian. I thought there was such change. I mean, I thought when you came in, it would all fall away. He goes, no, I'm here and I'm teaching you what it is to walk in my life. And so I had this beautiful picture, because we had this sheep. We had several sheep. And we had a flock of them. And whenever there was a hole in the fence, there was this one in particular, it would kind of just keep its nose to the fence. And whenever it see a hole, it would run out. And if you know anything about sheep, if one runs out, they all run out. And this sheep was causing a lot of problems. So my husband put a great big stick around its neck. Big stick. Hung around its neck. Talk about a standout in the flock. Have you ever felt like that? You come to church and you're like, you're bumping everybody on the left and the right because you're struggling so bad, you're a danger to everybody around you. And this great big huge beam around it. And people would come and go, oh, what are you doing with that sheep? You know, and it's like, trust me, we know what we're doing. And this thing, you know, he'd find a hole in the fence, but this time he can't go into the other pasture. This time he can't go where he wants to go. Because the love of the shepherd is preventing him from getting there and infecting others. And I had this revelation little by little, Lord, you know my flesh, I always want to go through that hole. But I thank you, your incredible love is you put something around my neck, but your yoke is not heavy. Your yoke is because you love me. And you prevent me from doing what my flesh wants to do. Hallelujah. You show what a good shepherd you are, that you will not allow me to my own hurt go in a place of danger and go in a place where I could be devoured and take many with me. That's your love for the flock. And eventually, that sheep learns to stay with the shepherd and you can take it off. You know, I was thinking about the life of Joseph. Because if you think about his life, early in his life, he was taken and put in a pit where he didn't want to be, where his flesh did not want to be. But beloved, he couldn't run from that pit. And then he was put in prison where his flesh didn't want to be. He couldn't run from that prison. But there came a day that God put him in a place he could run. When he put him on the throne, he could have run. He could have not done the right thing. He could have not forgiven his brothers. He could have turned his back. But you see, all the years of being in a place he didn't want to be caused him to trust. It caused him finally to say, this is spiritual maturity. That first season, you and I are put in prison and put in pits because we're young. Because we'd run if we could. But when Joseph finally knew the goodness of his God and that there was a purpose, that he had gone through everything, finally when he had the chance to run, he didn't. He stood his ground and said, my God is good. And when he turned around and saw those that had wounded him and betrayed him, there was nothing in his heart but to say, God has done this for your good. Not God has imprisoned me, God put me in a pit. What an enlarged heart this man had. That he could stand there and say, it is for your good. That's why I went all through it, for your good. He wasn't patting himself on the back. He was saying, that's how great God is. He took my heart that would have run and bolted any time it could and turned it into a man of integrity, a man that could rule and reign on a throne, a man who would stay his place for the good of others. Hallelujah. We had a sheep, sheep, more than one. One is sheep and two is sheep and three is sheep. Sheep, many. And in the hot weather, it would come, you know, you'd have to shear them. Now, Pastor Carter and I, we did all this ourselves. Poor sheep. And they'd get sit on their hunches and, you know, the clippers would come. I tell you, if sheep could have laughed, they would have laughed at each other. Because when you take all that wool off in the heat, they are the scrawniest, funniest looking things you could ever. They feel ridiculous. They're running around the barnyard, you know, like trying to hide. And they're cold all of a sudden. They look so weird, you know. But they were laughing at each other. We were laughing at them. They didn't even look like sheep anymore. But you know, can you imagine with that thick wool in the middle of summer, if it wasn't taken off, what would life be like? We had a little taste of it on the deck of the carrier today, but magnified. Unbelievable. And then, you know, we would shear this beautiful wool and I would watch this beautiful, valuable wool go in a bag. And I was thinking, great, now we can get some furniture. Oh, no. It all went to be sold for medicine. It all got put back into the sheep. What was taken from them was all put back for them and for their good. And it was like, Jesus, you're teaching me so much. Every day, if I ask you, there is something that you want to share of your heart. Not in my head. You want to take me into that and see, Lord, every day I can learn who you are and what your heart is. But I need sight every day. You know, there's a story of a young boy that in Switzerland, there were some naturalists there. And they saw a deep crevice and they wanted to pick some beautiful flowers at the bottom of the crevice, but it was very narrow. And they saw a young boy that was there. They said, look, son, if we lower the rope down, will you bring us some of the seeds and some of the flowers that are there? And they offered him money. And the story goes that young boy looked at money and he thought, how proud if I came home and I had this money to give to the family. But then he looked down the crevice, how deep, and he looked into the face of strangers. And he couldn't do it. And they would coax him, but he wouldn't do it. As much as how proud he would be to bring home something of his father that he had done, but he couldn't do it. And finally, his face lit up, and he gestured to them, wait. And he went, and he goes home, and he comes back with his big, kindly father. Says, I'll go down if he can hold the rope. See, there's the difference. We look into the lives of strangers, you and I. But if our Father is holding the rope and lowering us down into places that we have to go. You know how I learned that so well? Because when I first got saved, a short while down the road, I came under teachings and these people said, you know, if you haven't had this experience or you haven't had that experience, are you really saved? And I remember in my heart like, oh, well, knowing me and how unreliable I seem to be in the spiritual field, am I really on the right track or not? It troubled me. And they said, if you don't have this and this hasn't happened and that hasn't happened, then are you really saved? And so troubled, and it was like, Lord, am I saved? I probably am not. I began to look at my life, and with Christ in my life, all I could see was my failures and where I was struggling, and to my mind, all of a sudden, there didn't seem to be a lot of change. And maybe what they were saying was right. Maybe I wasn't saved. Maybe I just fooled myself. And I remember the despair that came over me and the depression that used to visit my mind. And it was back and it settled deep in my soul. It was like, oh God, am I missing it again? Am I missing you? And all of a sudden, this light, this voice came and said, I am here. I am here. You know, voices can come and you and I can have experiences. And it can be God, they want to come and it's like these strange voices, like these strangers. We go back down into the pit that life brings us. And they would let us go to our destruction. But God's saying, no, you see, your life is in my hands. I'm holding the rope. And no matter what you may think, I'm never letting you go. You're my son. You're my daughter. I'd give my life before I let go of that rope. And when the enemy comes, are you really saved? Is there really change? The answer is my life is in the Father's hands. And you know, I found out I could only go so far. And then he came. He said, I am here. I hold you back up. I don't let you sink to the bottom. I don't let you go to the bottom of your depression. I don't let you go to the bottom of your despair because I don't let you go. There are things that you and I go down and Father has a purpose for, but he brings us back and we can trust that if we've given our life to him and we are in his hands, he does not let us go. And no matter what we have to go through for a season, he's our Father. Like that little boy. I wouldn't trust any of you strangers that don't love me. I wouldn't trust myself back to the voice of the devil who hates me. Not back to my own flesh that will condemn me. But I have given my life to Jesus and I thank God he will witness to you and I am here. And we get our sight deepens. We have to go through some of these things to hear that I am here. It's been real. You do have sight. And when I would have a heart cry, all of a sudden he would appear and the eyes of my heart open and see him again. I don't lose him in the fog because when we're young, so many times it's like, God, are you real? We're impatient. Why isn't the change faster? Why isn't it deeper? Why isn't it better? Why do I battle still on so many fronts? God says, you put your life into my hands. I won't let you go. You're mine. You may look funny. You may look like you've got no wool. You may wonder what is going on. Don't worry. It's all for your healing. It's all for your healing. Just like the medicine we bought. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this man goes into town. This man that has now been touched by Jesus, who God has determined that people are going to see in him what God can do. He's not feeling very strong. He's not feeling like the spiritual elite. He's not feeling like he's got it all together. Every day is a new experience, just even learning how to walk to town. Looking into people's faces and thinking, that's what they look like. Can be horribly distracting when you first see. And he comes and the Pharisees say to him, that, you know, you haven't had a touch of God. He wouldn't heal on the Sabbath. My greatest healings have been on the Sabbath. My greatest healings have been in his presence. When the body comes together. When all of us who have been touched by Jesus and given light, we start to worship him. He heals on the Sabbath. And there was division among them. How can he do so much? And so, you know, the story, they call his parents in and they said, you know, many people look into our lives and they go, I see so little change. You say God's there, whatever. But you know, beloved, we say, Jesus, you gave me this sight. I'm seeing things. And those around me, I'm beginning to see just who the blind ones are. They don't want to see you. They say we see, so they stay so blind. And I'm telling them, look, Sunday or Monday, I see. Why is this not dawning on you that I see? That I look into your face, that I can look into this world, and you're arguing about what day it is. Beloved, don't let the enemy sidetrack you and I. If we see, we see. If we have been touched by God and He is in us, we see and we understand things. And people who come and say, you still got temper, you still got this, that's right. There are still some things, but I want to tell you, devil, I see. And I see what you're up to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they say, you know, give God the glory. This man, he didn't do it right. And he kept saying, I don't know if he did it right or he did it wrong, but all I can tell you, I was blind and now I see. And there is such power in that. If you and I have been touched by Jesus, we see him. We don't understand it all, but we see him. And he comes to us and he says, I am here. And something I'm going to do in you is going to be for the glory of God. And don't forget it. When the theologians came and said, well, answer us this and answer us that, all he could say is, I don't know, but I see. And it was lost on them. He said, where, tell me, have people blind from birth and now see? How often do you see this? How often do people come to you, the Pharisees, and say, God has touched me and here's the proof. I used to sit there, a beggar, that you used to argue over whose fault I was, and now I stand before you seeing. And beloved, that's the power of our testimony. That is the power, and we must never lose it. That Jesus, because you're in my life, I do see. And I will see more tomorrow, and I'm going to trust you. I may not have it all together today, but you promise me it is a continual revelation to walk with you. And the devil can't take the truth away that I see you. I see that I'm a sinner. I saw my need of you. I see now light. I see hope. I see what you promised me. And even though today may be a struggle and I don't have the answer for everything, I'm going to stop and say, I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the end, he couldn't be shaken from his testimony. They bring the parents in, they bring the experts in, they bring everything. That's like the voice of the enemy in our flesh and our circumstances. Do you really think that you see? Do you really think you're saved? Do you really think that people are going to look into your life and see the glory of God in you? Do you really think there's going to be such change that everyone's going to talk about what's been done in you and what's been done to you? I say yes. I say yes. Give God time. Because we don't have all the answers doesn't mean he has not caused us to see, and we will not keep on seeing. Let's not get sidetracked. Let's not let the spiritual voices of the enemy turn us into a knot and say, because there's a struggle today, it's all for naught. No, there may be a struggle today, but Jesus said, I've touched you, I live in you, and you will continue to see, and people will say, look, give God the glory, what they've done in your life. Don't give up on God yet. Hallelujah. He said, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one born blind? Tell me, how often does this happen? And beloved, you and I are going to rejoice tonight that this is what Jesus does. He gave us our spiritual sight, and we see him. And as we continue to say, Lord, I'm not going to be shaken in my testimony. I am not going to be taken off track. I'm going to rejoice in what you have done and what you are doing and what you are going to do. The very fact I see and I see you sets me apart from this crowd. And when they want to doubt you, Lord, you're going to cause me to see you, and I'm going to have an answer. This blind man could not be shaken from his testimony. Not because he was perfect, not because he wasn't still in beggar's rags, not because he still didn't have a job and a great testimony. But what was done in him, he would not be shaken from it. Hallelujah. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. That's the proof God is with us. If we didn't really have Jesus and God in our life, nothing would be happening. But the proof is he is in us. Something's happening. Something is happening. We can believe and rejoice that something is happening. And we say, Lord, I thank you that what you have begun you will finish. What you have started, you know how to bring it through to completion. And I'm not going to let the enemy condemn me out of what you have planned for my life by me backing up, by me saying, I guess I'm just not good enough. I guess I still, because I'm still in a beggar's rag, I can't talk about you. Because I don't still, you know, have this long history of seeing. No, Jesus says, that's not the point. I caused you to see and you keep telling people, I was blind, now I see and Jesus did it. And God will get much glory out of that. This man could not stop saying the name Jesus. He said, I don't know what you think and I don't know why you can't believe it, but Jesus did this and he would not be shaken from his testimony. And so what did they do? It says, you were born in your sins and you're teaching us. And they cast him out. They cast him out for seeing. That's what happens. They cast him out for seeing. And then the Bible says that Jesus, when he heard that they had cast him out, he found him. Verse 35. And he found him and he said unto him, do you believe on the Son of God? And he said, and he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talks with thee. He said, you have seen him, although it's the first time he's seen his physical face. He's saying, you've seen me by faith. You didn't think you had much, but the devil couldn't shake you down. You didn't think you had much, but the eyes of your heart opened and you knew it was me that caused you to see. You thought you didn't have much, but you've clung to me. And when they've cast you out, I have come to you. And I come to you now and I say, do you believe on the Son of God? And you said, yes, Lord, whatever you have to show me who it is. Lord, cause me to see one more thing. And Jesus said, it is me. You get to see my face now. You only knew me by faith. You saw me with your spiritual eyes. But now I come to you and you're going to see me. And beloved, that's a type of you and I seeing Jesus more and more clearly as we walk with him. First, we see him by faith. But the more we walk with him, we learn to recognize and see his face in so many things like sheep. Like everyday occurrence, where his face gets more clear and more real than our own. Where we start out having to know his face by faith, where we end up, he comes to us. When people cast us out, when they can't shake our testimony, when we say, I don't know, all I've got is, I was blind, but now I see. I know you're real, Jesus. He says, I come to you. I come to that heart of faith. And you don't just see me. It is he that talks with you. I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you. You'll see me and I'll talk to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And I pray that that's what you and I learn to do. Is that, Lord, I want to learn what it is to go before your feet. I see where you are. I see your feet. I get down low before you and I worship you. My heart will get cold. My heart will get unbelieving. But Lord, as I seek you, as I say, Jesus, Jesus, and we cry out to him and say, I will not be shaken. You are the one who've given me sight. You've given me salvation. You promise that people look into my life and see the wonder and the work of God. You promise me that. And Lord, I want to, by faith, worship you. I want to open my heart up wide and believe this. I want to go down on my feet in my rags or in my what I feel like is not my great social position or whatever I feel my lack is. And I go down and before at your feet and I worship because I believe you. I worship because you said this is what will happen in my life, that the glory of God will be seen in me. I worship you. I believe you. I believe you. Beloved, we become what we worship. And this man, in worshiping Jesus Christ, is going to become like him. And he's going to be a man that, I believe, in his worship, even though he didn't feel like his worship, maybe he had so few words. Maybe he felt tongue-tied in his prayer life. Maybe he felt that when he went into God's presence and he wanted to sing songs, his mind, there was torment, whatever. God says, that doesn't matter. You just come. You just come. Hold your ground. Say, devil, I'm going to worship the one who is worthy of worship. I am going to worship the one who gave me sight. Lord, teach me how to cut through the thoughts and everything that wants to pull my heart away. Lord, I'm going to sink before your knees and you're going to show me how to worship and we're going to see him so clearly. It's going to be an incredible thing. Beloved, God, in that thing, this man worshiped. And I pray in these days that God show us what it is to open our heart up and to do that. One last thing about the sheep is that we had, probably many of you know this story, but one time we had this sheep and he had a bump on its nose. And I saw Pastor Carter go and he was sharpening a knife. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm going to go take that bug out of that sheep's nose. And I was thinking, you're the shepherd, you're not a physician. And he took that sheep and he put its head between his knees and he did, cut it open and he dug out the bug that was growing on his nose. Because he had read in the sheep book that kind of bug, if you let it go, it crawls up the nasal passages and into the brain. It'll cause worms, it'll hatch and lay eggs and they'll hatch and then the worms will come and drive the sheep crazy. Will torment it in its mind. And no, that sheep wouldn't have said, thank you very much for sharpening that knife and coming towards me with that look in your eye. I left the room. I wasn't going to watch this surgery. But it's such a picture of what Christ does. Why we worship, why we say, God, I thank you. I come into this sanctuary. There's a million things, million worms eating around in my brain. But I thank you. Lord, as I begin to acknowledge, you're the one who causes me to see. You take that knife and you open this up and everything that causes the torment in my mind, everything that wants to churn, I thank you. By faith, I come to you. And whatever you have to do to set my mind free that I may worship, you will do it. Beloved, don't give up. Don't run away. He knows how to bring us into this freedom. Hallelujah. Because when we'll stay with him, he'll do what it takes. He'll do what is needed in our lives. And we are going to know that freedom. We don't run away when it's hard to worship or pray or speak the truth or testify of him. We say, I thank you, Jesus. I lift up my heart and I'm reminded what you've done in my life. And that gives me hope of what you're going to do. I thank you that I face this battle and you take me by the hand and you confront the flesh in me or you confront the circumstances around and you say, by my spirit, don't run away. By my spirit. You know, so much of Christianity is spent running. If I don't have to face my flesh, if I run away, then I can think I'm having a very tranquil Christian experience, which must mean I'm a pretty good Christian. Because I have victory. No, we don't have victory. We have running shoes on. There's a big difference. But if the Holy Spirit says, you have to trust me on this one because I'm leading you right to the center of your fear. I'm leading you right to the place of greatest difficulty. Where your flesh trembles and never has victory there, but you trust me and I will bring you by my spirit right where the problem is, sharpen the knife and you will see the deliverance I bring and you will worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you would pray this prayer with me, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Touch my darkness with your light. Give me your life and cleanse me from my sin. I want to live for you, Jesus. Come and live in me and give me the power to walk with you. Give me the power to believe you. Give me the power to give you all my heart. Thank you, you've given me all your heart. Thank you, you've forgiven me. And thank you, you're going to give me a new life in you. Thank you, Jesus. I accept all that you've done for me. I love you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 If you've prayed that prayer, it's not the prayer that saves you. It's your heart behind it that saves you. God hears the prayer of your heart. And he answers that prayer. And just like he did with me, I don't know how he did it. It's a miracle. But he comes and he lives in you and gives us sight for our darkness. For those that have come to the front, it's grace that caused us to see. And it is grace now that will cause us to believe him for our areas of struggle. We will not be moved off your testimony. You will not be moved off your testimony. I will not be moved off mine because of grace. Because Jesus really lives in us. Because the testing you're going through and where you think you failed, Jesus said, no, it's just you're going to call on me and I'm going to give you the strength. Where you used to fail, that was probably in your own strength trying to change. But the proof I am in you is that when you get into that place of failure, you call on me. You pull on my strength. You pull on my spirit. You pull on my life. And the God who cannot fail will see us through. That's going to be our testimony. It's his life in us by his spirit. And yes, we're going to be brought to places that our flesh doesn't want to go, where we must call on the spirit to have victory. And we will. And we will have victory. We saw victory on a carrier today. There is victory in this place tonight for us. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would bless us now as only you could bless us. You bless us with your life. Bless us with your light. Bless us with sight to see you in every situation. Bless us with faith to trust you. And I thank you, God, that people are going to see your life in us. You have given us sight that they may see the work of God in us. That is your promise to us, and we receive it gladly and in faith. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is the conclusion of the message.